Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. All right, great. So I have Ivan Veselsky here today from Comrade Digital Marketing Agency. And yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation since so much is changing in digital marketing with AI and everything going on around search and SEO. And so really, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. But maybe you want to just give a quick intro to yourself, just so the audience has context.
Absolutely. First of all, Dean, thank you so much for having me. Very excited for this conversation. We briefly touched on the topic of this conversation, AI being the central point of it all. Obviously, we're in deep trenches of it right now, so I'm happy to share my thoughts. Very quickly, I guess my quick intro, I'm CEO and founder of Comrade Digital Marketing Agency, like you mentioned. Our agency specifically focuses on helping local service businesses grow. Three of our largest clientele would be law firms, home services, and we're now adding healthcare as an additional field as well. So what is it that we do? You can call us a performance digital marketing agency. We're ROI focused, and that's our differentiating factor from a lot of the digital marketing agencies in the space.
Yeah, that's awesome. Everyone just wants outcomes. They just want to grow,
exactly,
get new customers and make money. And so I like that. Yeah, everything's changing for us, for you, for the whole world. Like search is down 25%. SEO is changing. AI overviews, people getting information inside their favorite LLM or ChatGPT. And
yeah,
like, do you have a point of view? Like, what do we all need to do to keep getting that share of voice? What are your thoughts around some of that?
As marketers, we definitely need to adapt and we definitely need to pivot. We used to be Google-centric. Google was the biggest platform for us, even though we did advertising with different platforms, Bing, Facebook, socials, and so on. We're still pretty much Google-centric. That's changing. Like you mentioned, searches go down. People now use ChatGPT, Perplexity, Gemini, whatever, Claude, to look for information. So the search behavior changes. We have to adapt with that. One of our biggest changes in how we do, in how we provide our service, we're introducing, in addition to our SEO agency service, search engine optimization, we're also introducing GEO, generative engine optimization. That's a newest term, and that's basically optimizing your presence for ChatGPT or various other AIs. And the way you do it is, in the foundation of it all is still the same old SEO best practices. You still need to build visibility. You need to focus on EAT factors. You need to make sure you have amazing reputation, lots of reviews, social signals, also press releases, if you can share some more information, and just pretty much be visible everywhere. So that's the game now.
Yeah, I was talking to our guys actually even earlier today about it, and they were saying the same thing, that a lot of the principles of SEO are there, but then, yeah, just showing up in a lot more conversations, whatever this training data is out there, and still building really good, valuable content's important. And then I heard a rumor, I don't know if you heard this, but like Google's going to maybe start introducing ads inside of the AI overview result. I don't know. Did you hear that? Or
I think it could potentially happen. Google actually rolled out a new platform, not a new platform, but new way how AI is going to interact with their searches today. Google is smart. They're not dumb. They understand that if they're going to continue doing things traditional way, a lot of their user base is going to leave. So they're trying to capture or recapture their audience by introducing more and more AI tools, more and more AI overviews, AI answers, and so on. So I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to change with the search behavior. They're trying to, instead of just being, here's your search bar, there still will be a search bar, but it will be a lot more conversational now. So you can talk to it. You can ask questions. You can have a conversation. You can pretty much have a chat with it. And because over time, I think your search, your SERP, your result page will probably not look the same as it is right now. They're going to have to adapt and they're going to have to put some ads in some of their AI results. Because how else are they going to make money? That's still the biggest way for them to generate revenue.
Yeah, they were the disruptor. Now they're getting disrupted. And what?
But Dean, wouldn't you think that OpenAI and Claude and all those companies would have to come up with other ways to monetize their platforms? They're still massively investing in the business without clear return on investment. And subscriptions is not the way. With subscriptions, you're only getting like a sliver, a small, tiny little bit of revenue. They have to come up with something as well. So there were rumors that potentially they would have to introduce ads themselves.
I, as a person who also sells software, I hope that's the case, but there's a lot of ways for them to make money, but I hope that rumor is true. And then you, I never heard the term you mentioned before. Of course, I know about SEO, but what was that term you mentioned? What's different between that and SEO?
GEO, Generative Engine Optimization.
Yeah, okay. So basically, and then how's SEO that different? I get what it is, like generative, the influence of the engine, but are the techniques different, or how is it a little bit different, or what's that?
I'd say 80%, it's still the same best practices that you would otherwise do for when you optimize your presence for SEO. Then 20% would be paying a lot more attention to directories, for instance, paid or specific niche directories, been in all the different top X of this, top digital marketing agencies or top SaaS platforms or whatever, because that's where the AI gets the information from. Then been present in various other review platforms. Previously, Google would be sufficient, but now you have to have presence pretty much in all other platforms. Putting out a lot more data that AI can use to scrape and educate itself and right, or build the answer based on. So having lots of this proprietary data available on your website kind of deal. EAT is still part of SEO, but also increasing your footprint as the thought leader. This is everything that comes to mind. I'm sure my tech team can give you an entire list of what's different. So what we're trying to do is we're still experimenting with it as well. There's really no best practice in how to do GEO. So you have to try different things. You have to just watch and analyze, okay, work with this client. How can we replicate it to our other clients?
A lot of experimentation because everything is evolving so much. But we all have to pay attention to how to do that. And that's everything's changing a lot. And now what about sales and marketing? How's AI affected how you go to market for your clients? And what are some of the tools and things that you do leveraging AI in your GTM?
We're pretty much integrated with AI right now for all of our departments. Sales department, marketing department is definitely with the pack, right? We're using various tools to analyze our client or our prospects' data. Rather, we actually built our own tool that very quickly analyzes prospects' information, their footprint, and quickly spits out basic understanding of what needs to be done and quick strategy and what do we need to do to improve their situation, that kind of stuff. On the sales side of things, there's a lot of conversations about, hey, look, you're an SEO agency, you're a digital marketing agency. Now, instead of not only I want to be on Google, I also use ChatGPT myself a lot. Can you make sure I when someone is searching for information, I could be found there as well. And our answer is yes, we're actually, this is what we do. This is a part of the service that we're going to offer to all of our clients, existing and new. A lot of our sales team members are now, it used to be one template and quick few details that you would collect about a prospect. Maybe your team will pitch some ideas as well. You put together a very quick proposal, you send it out. Now our teams are trained to use deep research, right? To analyze lots of data, analyze their industry, analyze, you know, what their customers are interested in, what their pain points are, and so on. So that definitely helps in their research and in the way how they pitch the solutions. It's a lot more targeted now. It's a lot more educated and saves you a ton of time.
Yep, no doubt. Yeah, and we keep testing a lot of different AI tools and for sales and marketing, and everyone's at different levels. And so you just can't, like, there's a lot of hype and then a lot of real value of productivity. And and so we keep finding that it's collaboration with the tools. You still need to iterate with them. You still need to drive them. It's not just let them be your SDR, not just let them create your ICP or what, but the collaboration. One of our guys would take 3 weeks to write these 6 blogs and he did it in 4 hours, but he had to start with the real meat of it and then iterate on that. And it's moving really fast. And so you get people that say, oh, it's not good, but it's going to keep getting better. And different companies are at different levels. And so, yeah, I was curious to hear how you guys.
Yeah, Dean, let me add some more to specifically on the internal marketing side of things. We definitely use AI to generate content, do research and so on. But our approach to writing content is we're not just outsourcing to AI. Because in return, what you're going to get is very generic stuff. It's going to be a fluff that everyone writes about.
Right.
So we're inputting our personalization, our customer data, our collected input, our collected information, and we're guiding the conversation. And AI becomes just our co-pilot. It's not replacing us. It's an addition to what we do, but it just makes it a lot faster. So instead of previous, maybe in a day, you would write 2 really good blog posts. You can now do 5, 6 of them, which are excellent in quality, full of details, really easy to read, and they capture users' attention, and they're full of data. So the result is there, right? That would be one example. On the sales side of things, I also forgot to mention, we scrape lists. We used to buy lists off of list sellers that would give you, let's say, a list of lawyers based on specific parameters. And we'd have to analyze this list. We'd have to maybe kill half of the companies on that list because they would not be of a good fit and so on, or because they would no longer be in the business or, you know, different reasons. So we changed that. Our technology team, our research and development team, they actually developed an automation where we scrape all of the websites off of the internet. We specifically have an algorithm and idea process of how to do that. We've built our AI analyzer tool that analyzes performance of each of the website based on 4 different metrics, website presence, reputation, authority, been backlink building, and website performance was the 4th one. And if we see the performance is low, then we would automatically send out an email, and we're now even thinking to deploy a printed PDF or a printed document with main summary of how their website is doing to them directly to their mail within several business days. That's how we're trying to automate our sales process.
Yeah, that's smart. That's smart. Yeah. When you find that kind of data on someone could be doing way better and you let them know, and that's really smart, and automation of that's great. And so we're a big tech company, or we're a tech company, not big, but we're a tech company, and people are still fearful. Oh, AI is going to take my job, or I'm not going to use it. It's not good enough because I looked at it a year ago or 3 months ago. Or did you have problems getting your people moving to do more with AI, or everyone just went right into it?
No, I involved our team early on, especially those who shared the same vision with me. I have a few individuals on my team that are very enthusiastic. They're very tech driven. They would, first, as soon as the tool will come out, they'll start testing it. They're already on it. Like, they're super, super pumped about new tools, new functionalities, new ideas, and so on. So we began experimenting with LLMs early on, before OpenAI became big, right? 2 years ago, I think. Yeah. So we were probably dabbling with it about 3 years ago or something like that on the big sets of data, on the big trends, because we had a lot of data collected from our clients, and we tried to make sense of it. Like, how can we leverage it to improve our marketing campaigns? And we would share quick wins with our team. So that definitely sparked some excitement early on. And from there, I would be constantly talking to my team. I would be telling them about what AI can do today or in the future. I would share all kinds of snippets of information that I would get from reading books, watching webinars, podcasts, and so on, different applications of AI. And then we organized our own research and development and innovation team that were, and one of their main KPIs was, and still is, to save 10,000 hours annually across departments. So they have various projects, prioritized.
That's your guys' KPIs.
That's our guys' KPIs.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, good.
They analyze each project. They analyze how much in savings each project will deliver. And then we'll complete them one by one. And that's how we become more and more efficient. What else? Yeah. And I have clear and honest conversations with my guys. And I'm telling them, look, if you're not going to embrace AI today, we as a team are going to become a lot more efficient. We're going to be, like, right now we're driving maybe 70 miles an hour. We're going to be driving 140 miles an hour in a year of time. And if you're behind, if you're not catching up, if you're not using AI, guess what? You're going to be on sidelines.
Yeah.
Not that we're going to have to let you go. You're just going to feel like you no longer belong in this community, in this company. You're going to have to quit.
Yeah. It is. It takes some of that. It's inevitable. And if you're not learning how to leverage it, then yeah, you can't compete as a company or as an individual contributor. And yeah, you have to keep up with it and drive it. Yeah, I like that 10,000 hours by department KPI of savings. That's a good KPI.
Everyone knows what we're striving towards, right? Everyone understands that this is the goal. So everyone has to bring and generate ideas of what can be improved, what can be automated in their departments. So in overall, I think it's a great idea to implement in any company, because it's just one big leap forward where everyone is focused on efficiency.
Now, is there like any really good SEO or digital marketing AI tools out there that you found, or what are your thoughts around that?
We use a number of platforms, and I'm not techie myself, so I'm not doing SEO myself. Yeah. My team would be able to answer that better. So I know for a fact that we use Copy AI. We've been using that for quite some time. Jasper, we use that a lot. We definitely ChatGPT and Claude. We started doubling with a platform. I'm blinking on the name of it. I can probably find it somewhere, which does prototyping. It's just like amazing platform of prototyping. You can quickly, like under a minute, prototype a page.
Landing pages or?
Landing pages. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Output information, where we used to have a text format for the content. It would be hard to understand. We decided, what if we put it in some sort of prototype where it's easy to read, easy to understand, everyone gets it. So we're looking for a really good prototype tool. We played around with Claude. Claude was somewhat limited in that capacity. And yeah, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, it's called Magic Patterns. That's the newer one that we're testing out right now. And it's got huge potential.
Yeah, great. So check that out.
Yeah.
And how about any success stories with your own clients, how the world's changed for you over the last couple of years, and how you go to market or how you help your clients go to market?
Our growth is a success story on its own, I think. We've been growing every single year. We've been growing at least 20-25%. Wow. Which we're very lucky and very happy in that regard. If marketing agencies, when COVID hit, everyone freaked out, But then most of us marketers actually did really well in the era of COVID because everyone started changing towards digital. I have to be in digital. Help me get there. But then post-COVID, there was a lot of trends where digital agencies started seeing a lot of decline in their revenues and profitability. We were the exception. We were still growing every single year. When it comes to success stories, we always were very obsessed about retention and churn rates. And every year we have our goals for the retention. Every year we're actually exceeding our retention goals. Clients stay with us for years and years. One of our clients has actually been with us since the inception of the company, believe it or not.
Fantastic.
But our average tenure of a client is approaching 3 years right now, which is huge help, which means we can invest a lot more in client acquisition, knowing that it will more than pay off because the client usually stays with us for that long. We've built actually a proprietary system called Growth Portal. Within Growth Portal, every client can see their scores and can see how well they're doing on the marketing side of things. That's where we actually show them their true marketing ROI, which is how do you calculate, how do you define marketing ROI? Basically, what do you invest in marketing for a specific month, and what do you got back in business for that specific month? So you divide revenue by investment, you get the marketing ROI, right? And usually in our business, if the marketing ROI is 400% plus, they're doing really well. So meaning that for every dollar that they invest in advertising and marketing, they get $4 back. Any company would want that. So
oh, yeah.
We see most of our clients get 600%+.
Wow, that's amazing.
ROI. Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't 3 years. Now I know why people stay with you for 3+ years on average. And so what, like the KPIs in that portal and the growth portal, is it, so it's money spent, and then it's kind of, sometimes hard attribution, right? What revenue did you drive through that? But what are some of the KPIs you find in there in your growth portal?
Yeah. Yeah. So everything starts with amount of marketing qualified leads that our marketing campaigns generate. The way we do it is, we collect all the leads from all the sources, website forums, phone calls, and chats for every marketing campaign that we deploy on our clients' behalf. So we collect it in one center, and then our AI chat agent goes through every single lead and qualifies it based on the parameters, such as geography, services required, and a few other factors. So that tells us how many marketing qualified leads we're driving for our client. They can see a tally every single month. They can see a trend. Is it trending up, trending down? Why and why not? And then it's available for paid and non-paid specifically. So we designate it. We can, so that our clients can clearly see which channels are performing better. Then besides marketing qualified leads and the growth of it, cost per lead or cost per MQL, cost per acquisition, and then projected revenue. Because we know what their close rate is on average, because we know what the average order value usually is, our system automatically calculates what is the projected revenue based on the number of MQLs that we've generated for them. And then we collect actual revenue for some of our clients, not for every client. Some clients are preferring not to share it with us for one reason or the other. And we compare it, and it's really close, actual revenues with the projected revenues.
Yeah, that's great. So here's a very specific question for you. Like, how do you guys feel about business email versus Gmail? Or do you guys have a point of view there? And all leads are good leads, or?
Yeah, we don't discriminate against Gmail, Yahoo, any of those. Many of our clients, when they prospect and when they come to us, they write from Gmail.
Yeah.
And they still turn into customers.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a personal preference what email to use. But many of our clients' customers are consumers. So granted, they don't have business emails. They use generic Gmail, okay, or whatever else.
Yeah, great. Now, what question didn't I ask you that you wish I would have asked you?
Yeah, I guess what could we done better to grow faster as an agency? That's the question I usually ask myself.
Yes.
And sometimes I have different answers, but one answer that comes to mind right now is we didn't secure who's quickly enough. And when I say who, that's an individual that completely owns a project or division, department, whatever else. It's an adult. It's an adult that you can trust. It's someone that can come to you and say, look, boss, this is completed. It's done. Here are the results, or here's an update on it. You don't have to worry about it. Early on, because we were a small, scrappy company, we could not afford such a cruise. And we would bring everyone to the table. We would be individuals that right now would never hire. So if I could go back, I would probably be a little more selective as to who I brought to the team. Because the foundation that you built when you small, today we're about 85 plus team members all across different offices. We have three offices in the US, in Chicago, Miami, and LA. But when we were 10, 15 people, that's when you built the foundation. That's how you're going to achieve the most scalability based on that skeleton. And some of those people that we had when we were 10, 15 people were just not A-type players, for sure.
Yeah, but that's a good lesson learned there. Now, how could our audience that's listening to this find you, get in touch with your company?
There's actually, I now have my personal website. My marketing team told me you have to, and they built me one. It is very simple, ivanyuslavsky.com. You can go there. You can learn a lot more about me. And look, I'm happy to help in any way, shape, or form I can. If you have any business questions or questions about scalability, if you're an agency or tech company looking for an advice, happy to help. You can find my creds there. You can find a way to connect with me on this website, LinkedIn, email, whatever works for you. And I'm always happy to help there.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah, I think everyone wants to hear lessons learned, and especially when you go through the struggle and you're a builder and entrepreneur. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing what you did here on in this conversation. And thank you, Ivan.
Yeah, Dean, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation.
All right. Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen, and if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.